Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
During the recent campaign season, we heard a lot about the wage gap and the 1% at the top of the wealth ladder. The next president will have his hands full trying to reconcile these two groups so that all Americans can make a living wage and pay their fair share of taxes. Our two guests have different ideas on how to boost the economy and level the playing field. First, Chuck Collins, website editor for the Institute of Policy Studies and author of the book Born on Third Base. Collins has a very interesting backstory. He was an heir to the Oscar Mayer Meat Company fortune, but he gave it all away after seeing a group of not very well-off residents of a mobile home park band together and spend every cent they had and help each other buy their park.
Sort of launched me on a process of saying, you know, maybe this wealth could be deployed in a better way. And, you know, I've already had this debt-free education. Maybe I'll be fine without it. So I made the decision to give that wealth away at 26.
Collins sees the wage gap and the American economic system as two class wars being waged simultaneously.
There's very much of a class war from the top down. You know, as Warren Buffett said, there is a class war in America and my class is winning. For 30 years, real wages have been flat or falling for most people in this country. But there's also a lot of resentment from the middle and the bottom up to the top, you know, hatred toward the wealthy or a sort of class antagonism. And I kind of argue in this book that while that may be understandable, it actually isn't going to get us the kind of transformation we need because the wealthy are not monolithic, and there's a large segment of people who are kind of waiting to be engaged and invited to be part of the solution.
He says that bringing people together of different income levels and getting to know them as people, not as bank accounts or us versus them, can help engage the wealthy and the lower wage population to work to shrink the gap.
The 99% we often organize to defend our communities and work to build coalitions for fairness. But we shouldn't forget that there are potential allies out there among the wealthy, and they may be in civic groups, and they may be in your religious congregation, or they may be in a neighborhood association. And these are people that should be engaged. You know, and some of them are distant and live behind walls and are not going to be easily reached. But the reality is there's a lot of people who I think are waiting to be engaged and invited to social changes that we're talking about.
Collins admits that wealth can change people. It can make them more distant and blind to the problems that the rest of society faces.
Someone like me who grew up in a wealthy family, I think we experience a fair amount of disconnection and distance from the rest of society. And even Michael Jordan, the basketball star, who, as he became wealthy, sort of recounted in his memoir how his world got smaller, how he grew afraid of people, how his sense of trust in the world diminished. I sort of feel like privilege and advantage can sometimes be like a disconnection drug, disconnecting us not from just the suffering of the human experience, but also the joy. So that's one of the things that I write about because I think that's a barrier to addressing these problems of inequality.
Collins says that income inequality isn't good for the wealthy either. He says that it's bad for democracy to have a bunch of billionaires controlling the political system. And it's not healthy for a number of other reasons.
There's a mountain of research showing that too much inequality actually destabilizes the economy. It actually slows growth and wealth creation. It's bad for social cohesion. It's bad for health, public health. So too much inequality now backfires on even the rich and undermines the quality of life for everybody. So that's one of the reasons I'm out there, is I'm saying, look, one percenters, you don't benefit from this, actually. The direction we're going in is we're becoming kind of an economic apartheid society, and that's going to undermine your quality of life and certainly the quality of life for your children and grandchildren.
Collins has some ideas on how to level the playing field and make the economy fairer for all.
After World War II, 1945 to 1977, we taxed income, high incomes and high levels of wealth very progressively, and we invested it in expanding the middle class. We did that through debt-free education, through very low-interest loans for people to buy their first houses. And we launched millions of families, mostly white families, on the wealth-building train, if you will. And it's very similar to what we could do today. We could restore the progressivity of the tax system, and we could invest in infrastructure and the big fixes that would actually make a huge difference in our local lives, in our communities. All the people I know today who have student debt, $33,000 is the average amount of student debt. And in some states, they're taxing inheritances, like in Washington State, and funding debt-free education. You know, there's all kinds of things we can do to raise wages, raise the minimum wage. Restaurant workers today are still paid a tipped minimum wage of $2.13 an hour. That's like archaic from a previous generation. You know, so there are simple things that we can do to raise the floor, but, you know, I argue we got to address the concentration of wealth and power at the top.
Kyle Hauptman has a different take on reducing the wage gap. He's the executive director of the Main Street Growth Project, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization created to help communities and small businesses. He says there's always been a wage gap, and what's important is equality of opportunity for all Americans. And that starts at the neighborhood level with education.
We should pursue educational reform and have a market in education the way we do for college, where although it's very expensive, American college education is quite good, while K through 12 is not. You see charter schools and private schools that have much less money than the public schooling that manage to succeed. They don't all, but many of them manage to succeed. And I think it's important that we look at what works and pursue that. Give those poor parents the same thing the wealthy have, which is an opportunity to choose their own school and demand results when they're not being served well.
He says that we also need the government, state and federal, to give small banks a break with fewer regulations so they can help small businesses grow and thrive.
Starting new businesses is the most important thing. You show me an area where there's a lot of new businesses being created, that is an area of opportunity and economic growth. And we've piled a lot of regulation on small banks, like community banks. They're the ones that disproportionately give loans to a small business. Meanwhile, the big companies have no problem getting capital. They can either issue bonds or they have bankers that pick up their phone call, one ring, you know. But the little guy is getting squeezed out. And I think we have a lot of policy reform, including financial reform, that would help a lot.
The tax code is another place where Hauptman thinks we can make changes. He says it's way too complicated, and that means people will hire tax preparers to help them find loopholes and pay less tax. Another place where we should be making changes and helping out small business people is with corporate taxes, which Hauptman says has champions on both sides of the political aisle.
The fact that the U.S. corporate tax rate of 35 is too high is something that a lot of Democrats and virtually all Republicans have agreed on. So there's a possibility there. Canada is much lower. You know, Sweden, the UK, they've all lowered their corporate tax rate. Even Japan has. They used to be just as high as us.
Hauptman says that, in a way, the system is rigged toward the haves to the detriment of the have-nots. He suggests that governments dial back on regulations surrounding businesses.
You need regulation. You need government. But when government gets more and more involved in who can set up a business, who can export, who can hire what, it tends to favor the haves because they're sitting at the table when they decide regulations. The more government's involved in things, the more those who have a seat at the table are going to try to craft those rules to benefit themselves.
Finally, Hauptman says we have to do a better job getting people back to work so they have a chance at the American dream and all it holds for them. He says that making it easier to start a small business is one of the pathways to realizing that dream.
The main success is earning your own success. It doesn't have to be striking it rich with the next Facebook. It can be that you go to work every day and support your family. And there are a lot of people in this country that would take that right now. Somebody in prison sure would. Somebody unemployed sure would. Somebody underemployed who maybe is on public benefits that doesn't want to be. If they could go out and earn their own success and make their own way in this country and pay their bills, there is a happiness and a pride that comes from that. So I think we want to be a place where it's easy to start a business, not because everyone's going to be an entrepreneur, but because when you take a boarded up building on Main Street that is sitting there empty, maybe attracting vagrants, and you replace that with opportunity, That helps a lot of people. It helps the town. It helps the tax revenue. It helps the people who might work there, even if they're minimum wage jobs. It helps the people who may use that service. It benefits a lot of people.
If we don't do something about the wage gap now, what will our country look like in the next decades? Both Collins and Hauptmann see it will likely be a different America than we have today.
Essentially, we are heading to becoming kind of a racial and economic apartheid society. You know, if wealth continues to concentrate as it has the last 30 years, then we're essentially moving to becoming kind of a hereditary aristocracy of wealth, meaning we're going to be a society that's governed by the sons and daughters of today's billionaires. They will dominate our politics, they dominate our media and our culture. But we're essentially moving toward a society where we'll be governed by the super wealthy. And I think we'll also see kind of a racial economic apartheid because of the fact that assets for blacks and Latinos have been stagnant or actually falling, that the divide will become greater along racial lines.
We might wind up looking a bit more like some of the Western Europe countries, meaning that they are still by and large prosperous and they haven't descended into poverty. You know, you could be Italy, let's say, you know, it's a nice place to visit, has a group of well-off people that do pretty well, but very little economic mobility and less a place that is a shining city on the hill. I think you and I are proud of the fact that many people around the world, if they said, if you could get out of the country you're in and you could go someplace else, I think the United States would be the number one place that they would want to go to. It certainly has been throughout history. The United States has assimilated more immigrants than any society on earth. And we want to be that, I think, because that means we're doing something right.
You can read up on how one man left the 1% to help those in the lowest part of the 99% in Chuck Collins' book, Born on Third Base. Available now in stores and online at chelseagreen.com. You can find out more about the Main Street Growth Project and Kyle Hauptmann on their website at MainStGrowth.com. For more information about all of our guests, log on to our site at viewpointsonline.net. You can find archives of past programs there and on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Gary Price.
Fib or fact? In 2014, more than 6 million people in the United States were estimated to live with atrial fibrillation, or AFib, not caused by a heart valve problem, a type of irregular heartbeat that puts a person at a 5 times greater risk of stroke than those without this condition.
That's a fact. An estimated 15% of strokes are due to AFib not caused by a heart valve problem. This fall, help the Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer Alliance raise awareness of this serious condition by testing your knowledge on fibsorfacts.com and encouraging your family and friends to check out the Fibs or Facts campaign. For every quiz taken on fibsorfacts.com, $1 will be donated to National Stroke Association, up to $30,000.
Here's another fact. Approximately 1/3 of patients with AFib do not notice their symptoms. To learn if you may need to get checked for AFib not caused by a heart valve problem, or want to learn about how to help reduce your risk of stroke, talk with your healthcare team today. And for more information, visit fibsorfacts.com. That's fibsorfacts.com.
Your dog deserves only the best, so it's important to feed them a high-quality food. Wondering what to look for when selecting a dog food? Veterinarian Dr. Jeff Werber recommends using a food with premium ingredients like IAMS dog food.
In my 30 years as a veterinarian, I've come to learn a good quality dog food is essential to keeping your dog healthy. IAMS dog food is high-quality food full of good-for-you ingredients that help your dog maintain healthy energy and a shiny coat. IAMS food includes a mix of farm-raised chicken and beef and natural prebiotics and antioxidants. When you switch your dog to IAMS food from a lower quality dog food, you'll see visible differences in 3 areas: skin and coat, digestion, and energy levels. IAMS is so confident you'll love the visible difference that they offer 100% satisfaction or your money back. The individual needs of each dog may be different based on size, age, or lifestyle. But one thing is for sure, a healthy dog is a visibly happy dog. Try an IAMS diet and look for the visible differences. Visit IAMS.com/visible difference for more information.
'Tis the season for giving back. For the second year in a row, Kmart and its associates are encouraging you to join them in wearing the Giving Hat in support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The Giving Hat is designed to help raise funds and awareness in the fight against childhood cancer and other life-threatening diseases. Rick Shadiak Jr. is president and CEO of ALSAC, the fundraising and awareness organization for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
The Giving Hat is a fashionable winter hat available exclusively at all Kmart stores and online at kmart.com/St. Jude. $1 from the sale of each hat, which has #love embroidered on the front, will support the St. Jude mission of finding cures and saving children. Then join the conversation by sharing a photo wearing the hat using #love or #TheGivingHat.
Over the last 10 years, Kmart has been the top fundraiser for St. Jude, raising more than $98 million. Last year, Kmart shoppers and associates purchased more than 105,000 giving hats.